Wall Street Bets Mod, thanks for joining me today. My understanding is there are multiple moderators over at Wall Street Bets. Well, my question is, how did you become a moderator of Wall Street Bets?
So I started going on Reddit maybe about a year ago or so. Originally, it was just because I like to talk about stocks, and I think my friends had enough of it. They were tired of hearing about it. And I was like, oh, this, you know. I really got into dollar cost averaging and really trying to understand how you can utilize that to the full advantage. And I wanted to see what other people said, right? Because, I mean, you can go on the internet and Google search all you want, but I mean, like interacting with someone, you get a much more in-depth answer. And I believe that no matter what you think, like if you have a thought that comes into your mind, there's no way you're the first person. I believe that's impossible. You can't be the first person to ever think of something. I took that thought and I was like, okay, well, if I'm thinking this, there has to be probably potentially lots of other people thinking that. And of course there are. First, I was going on the stocks Reddit page and just asking questions, answering people's questions. So I just kept going on and on and on every day. Like I would just check and there, I noticed there was a lot of newer people and they were kind of looking for something that was fairly simple to do, but there was like structure behind it. I was mostly focused around dollar cost averaging, but like that was kind of like just the back of it. I guess they eventually just saw me commenting on all this stuff and giving people real advice rather than just saying buy this stock. I was like giving a real structured strategy kind of approach. And I think the person who invited me and they asked me a question, I just said, yeah, I'm just doing this because I care. I have nothing to gain from this. I don't care to sell anything to anyone. I find I learn more when I talk to somebody, even for myself. And then that's kind of how that started. And then I made a new username. And then, from then I've just been the one of the moderators. There's about 50. So unlike your site, where it seems like you're the only one, which that could be a lot of work because it's actually very difficult to sift through, especially when you have a live chat.
Moderating CEO.ca is a big task, but luckily the community helps me by flagging offensive posts and anything that I should be paying attention to. With 50 moderators of the Wall Street Bets subreddit, is it difficult to manage moderation tasks?
I mean, for Wall Street Bets, what I really liked about it is that it's the whole like central idea that no one's really like above anybody else here, right? I think we all follow the exact same rules, which are on the Reddit page. If you were to go to the Reddit page and just leave out, there's a bunch of rules. There's content guidelines, no market manipulation, no pump and dump schemes, crypto, no political stuff, no SPACs. And people, for the most part, follow that. We don't really get very often someone trying to say some nonsense.
This leads me to my next question, being to talk about mainstream media and how they're covering you guys. And they're describing you as essentially stimulus check wielding amateur investors trading out of their parents' basements. Just speaking to you for a couple minutes so far, I get the impression that that is not the actual makeup of your community. So as far as you can tell, what is the actual makeup?
I mean, like the media is right and wrong. You know, like if you went on the page maybe about 2 or 3 months ago, it was just kids losing like 20 grand on a trade, you know, and it's like, okay, like I'm buying an option trade that's going to expire in 4 days. Let's just see what happens. This is so dumb. It might just work. And, sometimes it does work and people hit a 400% gain in no time. But for the most part, it was just kids losing a lot of money and maybe not even stimulus checks. The stimulus check obviously helped, right? That kind of changed it. People got a little bit smarter. I mean, I saw a lot of kids, 18, 19, coming on there. And they're like, I haven't even started college yet. I took my stimmy check and now I'm paying for college through it. And just nonsense, right? And that was a lot of the traders. And I kind of liked that. That was kind of something I really enjoyed about it. You know, maybe you're taking a bit of a risk, but a lot of people have a fear to that. I mean, at a very young age, to be able to break out of that and say, you know what, this is just money. I'm not going to treat it like it's more than that. You know, this is a tool that I can use. And if I lose it all, I understand that. But some people are willing to go against the odds, right?
But what did it evolve into?
It seems like now that it's like just a fucking city of people. And it does have a mob feel. Like everybody's like, we are not selling GME, which I agree with. But I also like to hear new ideas. Actually, today, someone brought up a pretty good point about Bed Bath & Beyond. And I was like, you know what? I agree with you. And then a lot of people are downvoting this guy. I'm like, just because he's not talking about GameStop doesn't mean it's a bad idea, right? Like Bed Bath & Beyond would be the next shorted business. And I understand why he's looking at it.
Yeah, I would suggest that the mob mentality isn't unique to your site. Anytime you get a critical mass of people online, especially if there's money involved, things can get out of hand pretty quick.
100%, yeah. And I noticed a lot of people don't want to lose any money, which obviously I respect and understand. But that has taken away a little bit. A lot of people are like, this is a YOLO play. And even if you look at like deep fucking value, I think one day he lost 14 million and everyone's thinking this guy had to be selling. And he posted that he's still sticking it out. And like, I think that's when everybody's like, this is diamond hands. I'm not fucking selling. Like a lot of people say, if he's still in, I'm still in, and which is good and bad. I like the community, but it also has made basically a mob.
Yeah, that's something to keep an eye on for sure. Naysayers have been pointing out that at some point, the GME short squeeze trade will need to unwind, causing a rush to the exits and a bunch of regular people holding the deflated GME bag. Have users been sharing their take on this issue? And if it comes to pass, as being described by the mainstream media, do you think the Wall Street Bets community will survive it?
I think for the most part, everybody thinks there's going to be some sort of like buyout since the short position is over 100%. Which I'm not too sure how that would work, actually, because I've never really heard of that. This is a very unique situation that I feel like there's a lot of underlying players don't really understand why someone would ever open a short position over 100%. I don't get why someone would put that vulnerability on themselves. And I think everyone Reddit is just kind of banking on that. Personally, I'm holding to see if it happens. I'm an OG Wall Street bet, you know, like I'll fucking lose my annual salary on this shit. I don't give a fuck. But I know a lot of other people will. And yeah, there's a potential of lots of people becoming a bag holder to a buyout, which a lot of people are kind of betting on. And there seems to be a lot of over-optimism. Pretty much everyone on there is saying, like, do not buy this with money you're not willing to fully lose. If you aren't willing to go down 100%, then what are you really doing? Like, go to something smart. Don't be like this.
Right.
With any squeeze that's ever happened, the price goes back to normal and everything returns. Whether or not, if that's going to be a buyout of some sort, where the hedge fund actually does go bankrupt and they need to pay back these shares to people that are holding, or whether or not there was some illegal activity where there was fake shares created, and then again, you would be able to sue and get some sort of buyout. It does happen, fantastic. If not, you know, I mean, it's been a whirlwind, so.
I gotta ask you, have you taken any risk off the table?
No, man.
So you put money in and it's all still riding?
Yeah, of course. AMC, BlackBerry, you know, I'm balls deep in this shit.
Right on.
I'm not a complete smooth-brained idiot that's running around just that happened to win a few times. And I'm like, like a crazy lunatic. I mean, my original buys were all profits anyway, so.
Well, if you were around for the 2017 crypto madness.
Yeah, for sure. Even the wheat stocks, you know. A lot of people were hitting for like a month straight.
So CEO.ca looks at all these types of stocks. When I first found the site back in 2016, I bought shares in Canopy for around $2. And that stock rocketed to $80 plus, I believe. Those are the types of high-risk, high-reward stocks we cover over at CEO.ca. And the investors over at CEO.ca live by the mantra, if you can't afford to lose it, don't put it in. When gains like that materialize, I can understand that emotions get the better of investors and it can become quite overwhelming.
Yeah. For a lot of people, don't come from very wealthy backgrounds, which I'm very proud of. I don't really come from a very wealthy background either. I've had kind of a hard time. And especially at first, when you first start winning, I remember with these weed stocks, I took my account. It was near Canopy Growth and all those. I took my account from about $500. And I mean, I think within the year, I grew it to about 13 grand. And then from there, you really start getting this confidence, which I believe obviously helps, but it could be to a downfall because I ended up losing all that 13 grand eventually.
Yeah, you caught the bug.
Yeah.
Yeah, you caught the bug. That's what happened to me.
Mm-hmm. But I don't just stick with the small caps. I mean, I can clearly understand why someone would. And it is very interesting. I like to look for value. You brought up the COVID thing, and I was actually big on the tech at the time. And I remember I was looking into Microsoft in 2018. Yep. And I thought based on the other tech companies that Microsoft, probably one of the most heavily watched companies, was actually undervalued. And from there, I believe I'm up somewhere near 75% on that. Obviously, it's not your small cap kind of gains.
Well, it's Microsoft. Many people would say that's real value you're holding there. So it makes sense.
Yeah. And so that's kind of what I look for. It makes it a lot harder because then you're looking at a very broad market.
Yeah, for sure. Over at CEO.ca, where I'm the moderator, our community focuses mostly on microcap stocks based in Canada, like I said, such as metal exploration and mining companies. sites like Zero Hedge, who have been following the Wall Street Bets story in detail, are suggesting that the community may turn its sights on the silver market. CEO.ca users are well familiar with the proven manipulation that takes place in the silver market, and it's been perpetrated by some of the biggest banks around the world. Have you been seeing a lot of chatter about silver trade, or is it really taboo to be talking about other things outside of GME at the moment?
So on the actual page, I haven't seen a lot, but there is a Discord chat for people who are a little bit more interested. And there's been a lot of silver talk, which actually I spent pretty much the whole weekend kind of looking into, because I personally, if someone brought up silver about a month ago, I probably would have just ignored it, wouldn't be interested in something like that. But then I started looking into it. I did notice that I saw somewhere they're talking about they do have to cover some sort of production numbers, which would be different than the short squeeze. I need to look into it a lot more to really fully grasp it, but I have seen a fair amount of talk about it and people are fairly confident. And then I started checking the charts. I mean, it looks like there's a wedge and you guys are basically just sitting right above resistance, and tomorrow or Monday would be the basically the back test day, and I'll probably buy if it stays above. I'm looking at SBL, that $24.99. We'll do a little bit more research, obviously, before just buying something, but based on the chart, like, that looks pretty good. And obviously, you like to see hype and volume.
Now, silver is a very small market if you look at the total market cap. I just read an article from a bullion dealer who was saying they aren't taking any more orders and that they're going to have a backlog in filling the orders they already do have.
And I noticed, yeah, that you had the hashtag silver going. In my personal opinion, you could be just some guy on the street. And if you got an idea, I'm going to probably listen to it right now. I don't really care where someone comes from. If you have something, run with it. And just, I really like that.
Well, if your users are interested in knowing more about silver and the silver trade, my guys are fanatics. Come on over. They're an open book. They'll tell you all about it. Now, some of my users are silver bugs, so silver can never do wrong in their books. But we do have a lot of other investors from big fund managers to company CEOs right down to little guys, but they're all very educated on this matter. And some of these guys make some pretty compelling arguments for what could happen if we see a true silver squeeze. But of course, we need to see the follow through. And that's what we're all waiting for, I guess. And if generalist investors join the investors on my site in the trade, it could become something to behold.
For sure. Like, well, there's the initial thought that this is this. Like, we have this based off this idea. Then there's a tick to actually bring in some people and say, okay, well, that is right. And then you need a wave, just a volume wave to actually really spike it like you want, if you want to squeeze. Yeah. I have a question, though. I'm assuming you have a slightly older target market. How do you get that older generation on the internet like that?
Well, yeah, that's the story of CEO.ca, essentially. And I'll give props to Tommy Humphreys, the site owner and creator, right off the top. He recognized about a decade ago now that there was already a community of investors who were interested in the space, many of whom were older. That's just the nature of the space. And he decided to create a platform online for these guys to communicate and share their information and their thoughts and different ideas. When he created it, it was really at the bottom of the market. So originally it was very smart people talking to each other and keeping each other company in the bottom of a bear market in commodities. But as commodities started getting more exciting and as marijuana stocks started taking off, crypto stocks, the community kept growing and growing and getting younger and younger. And we find ourselves today, you know, breaking records every month in terms of growth. But the older cohort of our user base were already there because they were interested in the market.
That's probably the hardest people to get online and actually give their real opinion. Younger guys are happy to tell all the info they know. Older people keep that to the chest.
Oh, totally.
That's pretty impressive.
Where I'm allowed, I do point out to the community who people are, as long as the users are okay with it. I mean, sometimes you have people bad-mouthing a user because of his opinion, and they don't realize that the guy behind the handle is probably one of the leading specialists on that issue in the world.
If he was right once.
So they should probably consider what he's saying.
that is like equal with Wall Street Bets. Although, so this guy's saying his opinion, and he's like, you know what? I'm giving my opinion based on what I know from before. Wall Street Bets style is I'm giving my opinion based on where I put my money. I may not know if I'm right, but that's where my money is. And before all this hype, it used to be show holdings, whatever you want to do, like picture of whatever your holdings are, or ban, like you're gone. And now it's not like that anymore. Everybody's just saying, oh, I've made $1 million. But originally, people had to post their buys and their current holdings.
Well, that's an issue that all social media sites are dealing with, especially when they're dealing with money. The potential for boiler room activity is real. And so people have to, you know, come into it with a certain healthy dose of skepticism, because there are limits on what we can ask of our users in terms of personal information. And we take privacy very seriously over at our site. How many users are you guys now over at Wall Street Bets? I think I heard a number around 8 million or...
I think 7. I'm not too sure, to be honest.
Well, either way, many millions of people. So people need to understand what that means.
I understand. And there's a level of security too, right? Like once there was a New York Times article where they mentioned my username. And once that kind of happened, I started getting some fairly sketchy messages. Just people proving they know who I am. And I mean, like, there's nothing you can do with that info. Like, congratulations. But when you said, hey, I've made X amount of dollars, here it is on my bank account. Here's a photo to prove that. That might have not been the best idea in hindsight.
Yeah, I hear you. The vitriol that flows online is impressive. It's like drinking water from a fire hose when you find yourself in its path. So I fully understand your desire to keep your identity private.
You hit the money there. I mean, that was the perfect way to put it. Trying to drink water from a fire hose. Just a wave of people. You're like, oh my goodness. Oh no. What did I say?
What did I do? What did I say? I'm going to get canceled.
When this first started happening, that's what we were worried about. We were like, oh shit, what did we just do? We were right about GME. That was a fact. And then all the media, we thought the media was going to hate us. And we're like, fuck, what did we just do? I was about to sell my shares and basically hold it. So if I got sued, I would have money to pay my lawyer. That's what I was thinking. I don't know why, for some reason, the media was like, oh, we like Reddit. And that was a pretty big shock.
Right. That actually leads me to an interesting question. You know, someone was asking me earlier where I think the line is between, you know, sharing ideas and actual collusion. Are you guys worried that someone might try to come after you and claim that there was some type of collusion?
I don't think anymore. I think we were more concerned because we didn't really know what we were doing on the back end, right? But then when you get into SEC, that's a whole different world that a lot of people never bothered looking into at all. I mean, so like, to answer your first question there is a lot of transparency on this site. I don't really know of any secret talks that are like, hey, we're doing this and we're not going to tell people until we are all in it. And then we're going to tell people. Like, there's nothing like that.
Right.
At least that I know of. I would hope there's nothing like that, because I really like that idea of an open concept, free market that everybody can access and understand. I really like that. And I would hate to see that idea kind of just disappear.
How did your users live the whole trading restrictions issue with all these brokerages restricting trading of GME and other stocks that you guys were interested in? Robinhood being the one that was talked about most in the media, but other trading houses were doing it as well, is my understanding.
I mean, with the Robinhood thing, to be honest, it hurt the price that one day, but I think that actually really helped us out in the long run, because that there was a second level of this whole thing that I think if that didn't happen, this would have been dead by now. But since that controversy came in, it just brought it where it's like, okay, well, this is about making money. And then some people are like, no, this is what's sticking it to the man now. Like, we got the man. And you learned who was behind Robinhood, why he was free. A lot of people didn't really understand how can they just be selling stocks for free. And now they know. You know, to me, it's worth paying the $10 a trade, right? Like, I would hate my info to get out.
Sure. Well, most people don't realize that Robinhood is a data broker. The service that they provide users to be able to trade online is only a way to entice them to the platform to get their data. Yeah, I cracked a joke on the site the other day about Robinhood, you know, and in their in their goal of democratizing financial markets, they take away free choice of the users of their platform.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I don't know if you ever used it or bought shares on it. When you buy on there, it has like little confetti that pops up. Why make this seem like a casino? You're like, oh, congratulations. You know, it's like, okay, well, if you're a long-term investor, yes, congratulations on taking that step and investing. But I mean, most people using Robinhood are there because it's free. So, I mean, I'm going to guarantee you're not holding that for more than a year. Well, I think that only really helped us actually. Like that was our like saving grace where you had this flood of people that are like, this is bad and this is real. And there's a lot of bad people behind it that are very sketchy. And they're just after them. A lot of people don't really care about the money. A lot of people do, but a lot of people also care about this.
It's almost a movement that's been born from it.
I told that to my parents. I remember talking about like near Christmas time, I was like, hey guys, like, you know, I'm moderating this page on Reddit. And right now we're like currently the fifth largest holder of GameStop. One person there was like, GameStop. He's like, that's a stupid idea. And I was like, yeah, that's the point. He pretty much shut out that idea. He was like, that's just the stupidest shit I've ever heard. And then maybe about a month later, I was like, hey, by the way, that paid off very well. And I said to them, they're like, oh, no, you got to sell now. Like, I was up fairly large, about maybe 2,200%. They're like, you got to sell this. And I'm like, you know what? Like I said before, this is all profit that I made from some other trades. I'm like, you know what? I don't let this ride, right? Like, I can't really be suggesting to other people to not sell their trades either and saying, no, hold. And then sell myself. I think that would be really shitty to do. And so I thought to myself, when everyone started telling people to hold, I'm like, okay, well, what am I going to do? Am I going to sell or am I going to go with this? And I decided, you know what? I'm going to run with it. The worst thing that happens is just money. The best thing that happens is we change the way Wall Street is run. And I feel like that might not be that small of a price to pay.
Well, that's interesting because one thing I see a lot of is people asking the question, what are the reforms that Wall Street bets are looking for? Are they trying to ban short selling from the market entirely? There are people pointing out it's a valid tool in the price discovery of any stock or commodity that we have out there.
Short selling is not the problem. I believe the problem was massive short selling to the point where you're just intentionally driving a business out of business, not to correct the price. You're taking these massive positions. You're hoping the company is going to go flat under. And then on top of that, you're creating news stories. You're actively going out there to diminish these businesses.
Just going out there and doing whatever it takes to make money, legit or not.
And I think with this GameStop situation, that was the case. Obviously, not every short selling situation is that case. I think COVID may not have helped either, where if you're a short seller, COVID was the golden opportunity, and which also kind of backfired on the tech. I knew a lot of people who were short on tech at that time. That really backfired there. But I think you're right. I don't think anyone thought they would ever get this far. So there was never like, okay, well, what do we do now? And I remember on Friday, everyone's like, okay, well, what are we doing? Like everyone thinks we're about to change everything. Someone needs to take charge of this. But then that would defer from the idea where no one's in charge.
Right.
So it's a little, with every single movement there's been, like if you look at every recent social movement, very similar. I mean, I like the idea that no one's taking charge, but eventually someone needs to say, hey, this is a decentralized area, run free, I guess. I don't know.
To be continued, right?
Yeah.
Well, if nothing else, I can say everybody over at my site will be following along and watching the progress if they're not in the trade alongside with you. And it's not just people who are interested in financial markets who are watching this stuff. I've had at least four conversations with regular people who don't really care about financial markets. And they're all talking about GameStop and what you guys are doing over there now. And the conclusion they all seem to come to is, well, it's always been this way. It's always been a rigged system, you know, and what they find funny is that when the hedge funds do it, it's business as usual. But when Wall Street Bets starts to do it, everybody starts freaking out and the system shuts down.
I couldn't agree more. There was a guy, he started posting about it. And I know for a fact, at least when I knew him, I don't think he really cared about this stuff. I mean that in no disrespect to this guy, but I love the fact that he's going out there and he was trying to show other people, you know, and say, hey, this is what's going on. So not only have you captivated the mind of someone who didn't really care at first, he's also trying to do that. And there's a compounding effect, which I think is the greatest possible thing. My personal belief is that every person in the economy or whatever economy you're in should be invested in that economy as well. I don't think it should be just for wealthier people. I think even if, you know, say $100, you're still in it. And that starts with education. I think that's probably the best thing that's come from it.
Well, it's been a crazy ride to watch so far. And if you don't mind, I'm going to reach back out to you in a month or so, or whenever it is that this story kind of comes to a head. Find out, you know, how you did, what you did with your money. If you still have it, if you got more of it, what's the deal?
Yeah, I mean, by then I'll probably have a lot more sleep. So I'll be able to give you a smarter answer than just fuck it. But I mean, for right now, yeah, like I'm with you too, but just see where it goes. I mean, if in a month we're talking and I say, hey, I lost my money, you know, so be it. Hey, the market's changed somehow. Beautiful. So be it.
Well, again, thanks for doing this, man. And good luck with the trade.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, no problem. Anytime.